Welcome, everyone, to Voice of the Valley here in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm your host, Dave Bell. 428-9494 is the phone number, 928-428-9494. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. I don't know what the weather's going to do. I know I read it every day, but I have no idea what it's going to do. We'll find out. Before we begin, before I introduce my guest, real quick, last night, Safford City Council, I stayed just long enough for this. I don't stay at council meetings longer than I have to. Anybody who's been to one knows why. The council decided to select Dusty Brantner as the person who will fill the seat that was vacated by the death of Jason Kautz. Now, Dusty's not being appointed mayor. Richard Ortega is mayor. He was vice mayor. He's elevated to mayor. So she's coming in as a council person, not as mayor. She's just filling the seat that was open by the death of the mayor. So Dusty Brantner was selected last night with, it's a convoluted thing. They assigned a point total. Who was your first selection, your second selection, third selection? Person with the lowest score was selected, and that was Brantner. The other two, Lee Patterson and Karina Pino Reyes, tied with the same points. So Brantner had 8 or 9, I forget which, and Pino Reyes and Patterson had 11. So Dusty will be sworn in at the next meeting. It's the first meeting in April. I forget what that is, second week, whatever the second week, second Monday is in April. She will be the new council person through the end of the month. That'll be April 8th. Through the end of the year. It's my understanding Brantner has also pulled a package to run for city council. Pino Reyes had, Patterson hadn't. So she will be appointed and then I guess running as an incumbent. So there you go. If she turns in a package, she has until April 4th to turn in a package. That's that Thursday. So she has until April 4th to turn in her package to qualify for the ballot. So if she does, she'll be running as an incumbent, and there you go. So that was the news out of the council last night, and then I left because I can watch the rest of it, and I would rather watch the rest of it. I only went because if they appointed Patterson, they would have sworn him in last night because he's on vacation during the next council meeting. So I would have gone just to get the photographs of him being sworn in. Otherwise, I would have just watched it. All right, there you go. That's the breaking news for the day. My guest today, Dan Turley's with Rocky Mountain Elks Foundation, correct?
Correct.
Good I morning. Got it right? Yay.
Good morning, Dave.
Went off of, good morning. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. So let's start with the basics. What is Rocky Mountain Elks Foundation?
That's a great question. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation was established 40 years ago, and it's a conservation group. As well as a hunting group, and people ask in that kind of a conflict there.
Oh, I disagree.
No, hunting is one of the greatest efforts in conservation. They were established 40 years ago. This is our anniversary. They are the first and the original conservation group that was established. They started in Missoula, Montana. There's 29 chapters in Montana. Arizona currently has 6 chapters. We've done so much work throughout the United States for the elk population, not just elk population, but for wildlife in general.
I routinely criticize my Democratic friends because I can't figure out why they haven't embraced farmers, ranchers, and hunters, because those are the biggest ecologists you will find anywhere.
Absolutely.
They care about the land, they care about the wildlife, and they want to protect it. Because it's either their hobby or their livelihood.
You're exactly right. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has partnered with many ranchers throughout the United States. I come from a ranching background. My brother and my dad are still full-time ranchers. And one of our neighbor ranchers was one of the partners. The Ohaco Ranch in Winslow, Arizona, was one of the partners with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And so noteworthy to me because I'm a neighbor to that ranch to watch the increase to the habitat that Rocky Mountain did in that location to assist not just the ranchers, but the wildlife and all wildlife.
So Rocky Mountain, I do have to disagree with you about one thing. I think our original environmentalist has to be Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, he was fantastic.
I mean, Rocky Mountain came in a little after Teddy.
That's correct.
So we'll give it to President Roosevelt.
Yeah, we should.
Okay. So you guys are out there, you're doing the good fight, you're making sure that wildlife is being protected, that the land is being protected. What do you need from the public? Is it just, you know, be a member, contribute, take part? I know our local sportsman club they were just out of Klondike last weekend, putting in water tanks.
We see these organizations all throughout Arizona. And I've worked for the Southeastern Arizona Sportsman's Club. These are great organizations, and the RMEF doesn't want to take anything away from any of those smaller groups that do these, because we're all fighting the same fight. Our Second Amendment rights are under attack. Our opportunity to go into the woods and into public property and the forest is under attack. And these groups like the Big Buck Contest and RMEF, they partner together to create a healthy environment for us to go into those forests and participate in these Second Amendment sports that we enjoy.
It's funny. My Democratic friends, and I'm picking on the Democrats today, my Democratic friends, I talk to them, and many of them are sportsmen. They're target shooters or hunters.
Correct.
And it's... Again, you can work with everybody because you're heading toward the same direction. Wanting to prevent a school shooting, I can't imagine any hunter is in favor of school shootings. They're not.
Absolutely not.
But they want the right to hunt and to target shoot, you know, sport, you know, the firearm sports.
Yes. You know, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has many programs that they do, and one of them is hunter education. We go into schools and we teach them about gun awareness. We teach them how to, you know, properly use a weapon and safely use a weapon. We teach them about being active in this role that we play. The many scholarships. We actually partner with a lot of schools and offer scholarships throughout the United States to help these young people get involved in the wildlife industry.
I was at the Gila Watershed Partnership public meeting last Thursday. It's unrelated to Rocky Mountain, but I'll get there, I promise. They were talking about the tamarisk beetle, the salt cedar. It's an invasive species. It's drawing all our water, which is awful because we need that water for our wildlife, in addition to our farmers and our ranchers. But they said one of the big stumbling blocks is U.S. Fish and Wildlife, which wants to protect certain species instead of going in with common sense and saying, okay, if we get rid of an invasive species but bring back native species, we'll protect all these endangered birds and lizards, etc. I assume that's what Rocky Mountain Elk is trying to do, is get common sense out there.
Absolutely.
Rather than just staking a flag in the ground and saying we can't ever deviate.
You know, one of the greatest proponents that we have in the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is our lobbyists that take our fight to the Capitol. They take these to Washington, and we have individuals working for us in the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and not just for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, but just also for the group that you just spoke of, the Arizona Game and Fish.
Game and Fish is on favor. It's Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah.
That's decided, apparently, that the willow flycatcher is better than water.
Well, we have to use sensibility in this. We have to use some logic, and these are God-given rights that were granted to us, and we're trying to protect these rights.
And that's what I like about your organization, Sportsman Club, GWP. It's not about staking a moral high ground and never deviating. It's about let's do the right thing.
Absolutely.
And look, you're... Hunters provide a significant service to our ecology by making sure no particular species overwhelms the environment.
Management is a big tool that we use in conservation, and managing healthy populations of the elk population, as well as deer and antelope and other large game in Arizona and the United States, is absolutely essential to a healthy environment. The amount of grass that's on the ground. I came from a ranching industry, a brother and a father who are still full-time ranchers. And managing that precious resource, the grass that grows from the ground, and the number of animals that are partaking of that grass is absolutely essential. Our forests are open, and it would be extremely difficult for us to manage populations without the hunting industry.
You've got a big event coming up. I'm saving talking about it until, because we're going to talk to Reed Richens over on Cat Country too in about 3 or 4 minutes. So I figured we could talk about it then. I know New Jersey used to have a problem with bears. Do we see that same type of problem with our western states, where there's too much of any given predator that needs to be managed?
Well, we're getting into a kind of a political spot here.
Well, I mean, from a hunter standpoint.
Yeah,
I mean,
from a hunter standpoint, from my industry.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to stake, you know, you're not running for anything.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. But the people we're talking to are people that appreciate what hunters do.
We do recognize that there are some predators that have been recently introduced into our area. Catron County is a significant location that has a high population of the wolves.
Right.
And that's difficult because coming from the ranching public, the wolf population doesn't differentiate between an elk calf and a cow and a domesticated cow. And so therefore that can be a conflict between the ranchers, the wildlife groups that introduce these predators.
As we go north, are there different, because you do provide such a huge service to the ecology, to the environment, are there other types of not just predators, but animals? Because look, we get too many deer, there's a problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why groups like the Game and Fish and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Southeastern Arizona Sportsman's Club, get together. We like to stay on the same page to make sure that those populations are managed in a healthy manner. And we have those individuals taking these numbers and showing them to the general public of how healthy those populations are. The lobbyists that take that to, and a lot of people don't understand in the big cities what these populations look like out in the country, like small areas of our state, like southern Arizona.
The one thing I really, really love, I'll be honest, I'm not a hunter. I'm not. But I appreciate any hunter who harvests what they kill. I'm not a trophy fan. I'm just not. Look, you keep the antlers.
Sure.
Can't eat an antler.
Can't eat antlers.
but I do. What about for those that game that really isn't, you don't want to eat? Do you find convincing people of the need for that? I'm thinking specifically, I don't believe javelina is a particularly good food.
I would agree with you. I've harvested javelina and we did our best to eat it, but to me it wasn't palatable.
Tried it, couldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's necessary to manage that.
Absolutely.
So do you find that's a little more difficult to convince some people of that? Look, you're performing a huge service because too many javelina is a problem. It's a huge problem, especially as they encroach on populated areas.
That's correct. The javelina can reproduce 2 times a year, and they'll throw out more than just one offspring. And so that can be troublesome. And it's very close to 3 times a year. And so that can be troublesome when the populations are getting so extreme. Managing that population is absolutely essential. That's where the hunters come in. Now, when we talk about trophies and not trophies, I believe
that's just me personally.
I understand that. I think that every animal is beautiful and every animal can be a trophy.
Right. And I understand that. It's just me. I believe if you're going to kill it, eat it.
You should.
You know, I mean, and let's face it, venison, that's the top of the chain here.
It sure is.
I get a kick out of everybody that says, who got drawn? Good, we're eating well.
Yeah, this time of the year, that's the best conversation is where you're drawn.
Yeah. I keep looking over at Reed. We got a little bit of time. Let's see, how much time? 1 minute. All right, and then we're going to talk about your big event that's coming up. And best of all, it's not just some big event. It's a big event here in Safford.
That's correct.
So We're watching a cat country right now. 428-9494. I was speaking with Tim Linden, who's a member of the Sportsman Club. I know you know Tim. And he was promoting your event to me. And I go, no, that's cool. I got Dan coming on.
Tim's a great guy. I invited Tim to be part of our organization this year, and he jumped on. He's been fantastic. He's a guy that is, I didn't know how active he was. I thought I'm a busy guy, but he is everywhere.
He's in everything.
Absolutely. What a neat person, and what an advocate for Safford, Thatcher, the Gila Valley.
Hey, but here's the crazy thing. He's not just part of everything here. He's part of everything in Cochise County and in Greenlee County.
Yeah.
If he's not here, he's probably down in Bisbee or Sierra Vista.
Yeah, he was in Benson last weekend with putting on the Country Fest.
The Country Fest, yeah. So his 1 minute is much longer than everybody else's 1 minute. Have we noticed that? All right, let's see if we can catch up to him.
Playing a new hit country, and I think we're going to check in right now next door in the next studio. I think we have crazy people over there. Are we there?
We are.
Well, good morning over there.
How are you, young Reed Richens?
Young. I was going to say that never gets old, but.
Well, I do, but now so it's therefore. Old. You are. You're younger than me, so therefore you're young Reed Richens.
You know, I do remember years ago we used to do a segment like this with a guy named Tim Walters, who was in that studio, and he was significantly older than me. Of course, at the time I was in my 20s. And he was probably about my age now. And I teased him relentlessly about being the old guy. So, I don't know. I'll take the young part.
There you go. So, I have Dan Turley in here, and we're talking about the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation over here on KATO.
Right.
And learning about all the great things that they're doing to protect the environment, protect the ecology. They're managing wildlife populations in addition to supporting sportsmen,
right,
and everything, the great thing that they're doing. But we saved the big thing for cat country.
Oh, the big thing.
The big thing we saved.
Well, we had him on the radio with us last week.
Oh,
last week, week before, I don't remember. Week before. Anyway, and Dan and I have worked together a gazillion times.
We have.
As an auctioneer and a sound guy and that kind of a thing. But this is a deal that's been kind of, COVID kind of killed it, right, in this area.
Exactly. This was a chapter that had been open for about 12 years, and COVID came in and killed it off.
Yeah.
We're trying to resurrect it.
Yeah. So tell us, it's happening this weekend, and tell us what it is, first of all. You've done it before here, but now you've got a couple of different audiences. Tell us about the actual Rocky Mountain Elk event this weekend.
Yeah, this will be the 40th anniversary of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. We're putting on a banquet. A lot of the Gila Valley and southern Arizona has experienced the big buck. This is very similar to the big buck. It's a fundraising banquet. It'll take place this Saturday at the Graham County Fairgrounds at 6 o'clock. That's dinner will be served at 6. The event starts at 7, our doors open at 5.
Right.
The event goes on for about 4 hours. We raise money for habitat. We raise money for conservation.
And when you say that, when you say habitat, okay, so we're going to give you this money for habitat. Then what do you do with that money? I mean, we're going to do what? Buy some habitat?
That's one of the, that's truly one of the projects that we've done. There was a piece of land down here in the what are the mountains called?
The Guerreros.
Guerreros, thank you. Uh-huh. The Guerrero Mountains that had been blocked off with private property.
Oh, uh-huh.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation knew that there was some great hunting property back there, not specifically elk country, but it was hunting property. It was public access, but they couldn't get there because of the private property that had landlocked them out. Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation went in, purchased a sizable chunk of property from some private individuals, and then donated that property back to public domain to ensure that we still will continue those opportunities for hunting in the Guerrero.
And so, you know, I hear things about, I know that the Southeastern Arizona Sportsman Club, which you mentioned earlier,
yep,
and the Big Buck fundraiser, they do a lot of water projects. Now, I don't know that people really think about that situation, but when we've had a drought situation in Arizona, we're trying to help these animals stay alive.
You're exactly right. I mentioned a minute ago a project that took place up in northeastern Arizona on the Ohaco Ranch where we went in and put in 20 miles of water line to establish water drinkers in different locations along the Mogollon Rim for the Ohaco Family Ranch. We partner with these ranches that are old established ranches that want to continue raising cattle. And we put in these drinkers that will not just serve the ranching community, but also right, the wildlife.
Yeah. And you know, our radio tower is at Guthrie Peak. And there's a great big water collection thing up at Guthrie Peak where it collects rainwater and it stores it in a tank. And then it, of course, trickles down to the drinkers on the ranch land. And somebody's got to do that stuff. Right? I mean, that's how these animals get watered. And I know it's a catch 22 because you're like, why do you just, you know, I know that people are a little funky about it. They're like, oh, you're just trying to preserve the animals. So what? You could kill them? You know, and that people have said stuff like that. But it's all about using and replenishing, you know, our wildlife, our, you know, natural resources, basically.
Absolutely. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has put in almost $40 million worth of infrastructure and projects on the ground in Arizona over the last 40 years. We do about $1 million a year. Isn't that amazing? It's such a large organization. This is the of these wildlife conservation groups. This was the original muscle.
Yeah.
They're such a large group. They can do these big projects. It's fantastic to see them partnering with the general public, whether it be farmers or ranchers, to establish healthy environments and ecology for the wildlife.
Yeah. Yeah. And if, I mean, you and I have been to the Rocky Mountain Elk in Tucson.
Yeah, it's the biggest in the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a great event.
It's a huge one.
Yeah.
And it's a giant party, and people have a great time. And so we're trying to do a little mini version of that.
Yeah.
Here this Saturday.
Yeah, the Tucson chapter brings in 1,300 to 1,500 people for that one night. It's a great event. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. This is the mini version. We have 300 dinners scheduled for Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
So we will have all of our volunteers. We have about 25 volunteers right now that are going to serve and do the event. There'll be tickets sold. We like to protect those Second Amendment rights, and when we do that, we promote giving away blitzes, gun blitzes, and so right now we have 25 guns that are going to go out to that population, and we check and make sure that everybody's legal. But
But
we like to put those Second Amendment tools back into the hands of the people, and so approximately every 10 people that walk through the door, we're going to give a gun to one of them.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a huge amount of donations
it
coming
is.
In.
So yeah, you know, the Gila Valley support. Is fantastic. Yeah.
And it's the event's a lot of fun. If anybody has any questions about it, is there a number to call? Is there a Facebook page?
Yeah, Facebook page is a great place to go. Go to the Arizona Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Facebook page. That's one spot. You can also go to rmef.org. It's a little bit more difficult to purchase tickets through that site because you have to maneuver through the events that are located. So go to events and then go down and find the Southeastern Arizona chapter.
There were a lot of events. I did look at the website, you guys are busy.
Yeah, it's a very fast-paced night. We try to get out of there in 3.5-4 hours, and so,
yeah.
But it's fantastic. It's a great time. There's a lot of blitzes. We do hat blitzes, and we do knife blitzes, and gun blitzes, and for the ladies that think, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to another hunting event, we have different activities for the ladies. We do gun giveaways throughout the night just for the ladies. We also doing some scholarship opportunities for young people. Truly, these things go away if we don't pass this interest and this passion down to our young people. And so
That's
one of the main things that we like to do is get our young people involved. We want those young people in there winning a gun. And my wife put together a little youth blitz where somebody's going to win a little BB gun and all the fixins.
So. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we love it. If we have any more information on it, Arizona Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation on Facebook. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We on the Cat Country Facebook page, we will post a link with that, heading straight to that Facebook page. So we'll put that on the Cat page, making sure that everybody knows where to go to find some tickets. So have fun this weekend. Looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be a good time. We welcome everybody out.
All right. You guys have a great one over there.
Thanks, Reed.
All right. There we go.
All right. I'll tell you what, why don't we take a quick break too? 428-9494. Poor Dan, he's had to deal with two interviews back to back. We'll give him a chance to catch his breath, take a drink of water. Back right after this. Welcome back to Voice of the Valley in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm Dave Bell. Dan Turley is here. We're talking about the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the big event this weekend. It's the dinner over at the Ag Building. Tickets are still available, correct?
They are. We're still selling a few more tickets today. We'll probably have to shut it down because there is an occupancy load at the Graham County Fairgrounds there.
So if you're going to, if you were thinking about it, today is the day. Get those tickets. Best thing to do, go to the Facebook page. That'll take you directly to the link. To
Arizona Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Facebook page. And then there's a link right there. Click on it. Find the events and you can buy your tickets there.
Perfect. That's the way to do it. We were chatting during the break about gun safety, something that every hunter believes in. My Democratic friends, listen, trust me. These folks want gun safety.
100%.
Yeah, you were telling me a story about teaching your kids. My mom was a police officer, so I got gun safety, I think, from diapers on.
Yeah.
And there were rules. There are just rules in a properly managed gun owning household.
Absolutely.
And those kids, and I think I'm speaking to the choir here. This is a community that teaches kids from a very young age the proper way to deal with a firearm or a knife, because they're useful tools here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did the same thing, Dave. And at an early age, I taught my boys when they were just 3, 4, 5 years old, the 4 laws of gun safety. And they were very, very aware of that as they've grown up. And I even now in my church group that I function with, I like to bring the boys over to the house and we do a gun safety night. These are the same things that the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has pushed for the last 40 years since the beginning.
I was blown away when you said how much money Rocky Mountain has invested in Arizona since its inception. $1 million a year on average.
$39 million right now. We're on our 40th year and we're at $39 million.
That is an amazing amount of money.
Yeah, considering we stepped out for a little bit for the COVID times.
But I'm assuming that's across Western United States, correct?
That $40 million, that $39 million is Arizona alone.
Just Arizona.
That's Arizona, yeah. Yeah, we do so much throughout the United States. And Arizona has a very, very healthy elk population. We've got great hunting here, Dave. We really do. And people don't often understand that this state has as good of hunting as it does. They think of the best hunting in the world, the best elk in the world, coming from Montana and Wyoming and Utah. Arizona truly has the best elk.
Well, we've got such a huge, I was going to say disparity, that's not the right word, but range of environment.
Diverse, very diverse.
Yeah, diverse, thank you. Diverse environment that, I mean, it's luck of the draw. Let's face it.
It is.
Luck of the draw. But you can apply to hunt just about anything here.
You can. We've got great large game, small game here in Arizona. I tease my friends from Montana. They're saying how great their elk are up there. And I said, well, we've got the largest Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation chapter in the world. And that's the Tucson chapter, which is absolutely not elk habitat. But we have so many opportunities to hunt here in Arizona that we're truly blessed.
Have you had a chance to go up to Canada and do any hunting?
I never have. I'd love to. It's on my bucket list.
Just curious, you know. So I know a lot of guys that want to get up there.
Yeah.
Fishing, of course, is the big thing.
Yes, it is.
You know, I fished Minnesota. I've never fished Canada.
I'd like to. It's on the bucket list.
Yeah. But just curious, because I'm curious how Canada handles its hunting compared to the United States. Because once you go west of the Rockies, we get it. It's kind of east of the Rockies that struggles conceptually, at least northeast of the Rockies.
You're exactly right.
So, although, let me just say, I'm a Midwesterner. Love our hunting and fishing.
That's all right. Welcome to the true United States.
Yeah. Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota. They like to do a little bit of hunting.
They sure do.
So, again, we've got just a couple of minutes. The event is this weekend?
This Saturday at the Graham County Fairgrounds. Doors are going to open at 5 o'clock. Dinner will be served at 6. We'll have a live auction, which is my favorite part of the event because I am an auctioneer. The live auction will start at about 7 o'clock. We have a silent auction and many, many raffles. There are 170 prizes that will be given away that night. The money is going to habitat, conservation, scholarships, different projects, watershed projects, and partnership projects throughout Arizona.
Dan Turley with the Rocky Mountain Elks Foundation, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's been great.
And thank you all for listening as well. I appreciate it every single day. I'm out of here for right now, but I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, you guys have a great day.